Good morning. On Sunday, the 23rd of May 2021. This is the day of Pentecost that is celebrated in the church's year. But before I go and say some more on that, let me just first say that our readings today are from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and John chapter 15, verses 26 to 27. And then John chapter 16, verses 4 to 15. The day of Pentecost. And traditionally, I would have looked at the passage in Acts chapter 2, because it tells us about the day of Pentecost, about the Holy Spirit being poured out on the disciples. But I started by saying that this is the day of Pentecost, and it's the same day every year. Now, it's not the same day as in the 23rd of May, but it's the same day in relation to Easter Day. Now, in this year, 2021, Easter Day was the 4th of April. And Thursday week ago was Ascension Day, whenever Jesus was lifted from the earth and went on the clouds to the Father in heaven. And from Easter Day, the 4th of April, to Ascension Day, the 13th of May, is 40 days. And it's 40 days that Jesus spent with his disciples in his resurrected body before he went back to the Father. And so he spent all that time with them, reassuring them, encouraging them, meeting with them, eating with them. And yet at the same time, they saw his hands with the nail prints, and they saw his feet with the nail prints, and they saw the hole in his side where the spear had gone in to prove that he was indeed dead on the cross. And so Jesus was with them for this time. But then from Thursday week ago, which is the 13th of May, until today, the 23rd of May, is 10 days. And during those 10 days, or rather at the beginning of those 10 days, Jesus had told and instructed his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the coming of the Holy Spirit, until the Father would pour out the Holy Spirit upon them. Now, they didn't know the details. All they knew is they had to wait. And it was perhaps easier for them to wait in those 10 days because they'd had the previous 40 days with the Lord. And obviously, of course, the 3 years and a bit more before that as disciples walking with Jesus and learning from Jesus and seeing what Jesus did and doing what Jesus did. Because remember, the disciples went out and they laid hands on the sick, and they raised the dead, and they cast out demons, and they cleansed lepers. Because it tells us that in the Gospels, where Jesus sent them out, and they came back and reported back to Jesus that they'd done these things, and they'd seen these things happen. So now is the day of Pentecost, and they're in the upper room, and they're waiting. And the Holy Spirit is poured out. And you read of that in Acts chapter 2. But I want to look at John chapter 15. And I know it's a bit split up. It sounds strange. But verses 26 and 27 are at the end of John chapter 15. And then we're skipping the first three verses of John chapter 16 and continuing on at verse 4. So let me read the last two verses of John chapter 15. But when, this is Jesus speaking, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So let me read that again. Jesus is speaking. Verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And I want to look at that a bit in reverse, because I'll start with how it ends. And you also will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. Just as I said, this is the day of Pentecost. 10 days before Thursday week ago was when the disciples were waiting. 40 days before that is the time where Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, was with his disciples. But about three and a half years before that, he called the first disciples. And that's the beginning that Jesus is talking about. You have been with me from the beginning. Because he says, you also will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. So he's talking to, at this stage, the 11 disciples. Because Judas has already died, because he couldn't bear what he had done to Jesus. So he's talking to the 11 disciples. The 11 disciples that had been with him from the beginning, whom he had called when he called Simon Peter and Andrew. He called the fishermen, and they came and they followed him. And because they've been with him, and because they've been with him the 40 days, and because they've been waiting for him, he says that they too shall bear witness because they've been with him from the beginning. Let's look at verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth. So there you go, the Helper is the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth we know as the Holy Spirit. And so again, we have the Trinity in this verse. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit who's going to come, who Jesus is going to send. But Jesus is going to send from the Father. So you've got the Father, you've got the Son, you've got the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father. The Trinity, God. But it says this, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. In other words, the Holy Spirit will say nothing other than things about Jesus. He'll only speak about Jesus. He'll only speak truth because he's called the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus only spoke truth while he was on the earth. And we have the Bible, which is the Word of God, which is truth. All of it is truth. And so if we want to know what truth is, we read the Bible. Which is why I keep saying, read the Bible. Study the Bible. And the Holy Spirit, the Helper, he will testify. And you see, that's the thing is, we don't actually need Jesus with us. And the disciples didn't need Jesus with them any longer. Because they now had the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, whom Jesus would send, who proceeds from the Father and comes from the Father. And he will lead you into all truth. Because he testifies of Jesus. So then going on into chapter 16. And I want to read a few verses. And this is verse 5 that I want to read from. And again, this is Jesus speaking. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And I want to end there. So that's verse 5 to verse 11. In verse 7 it says there, nevertheless I tell you the truth. Jesus always spoke the truth, but he's in a sense, emphasizing and just pressing it home, I tell you the truth, which is echoing the words at the end of John chapter 15 about the Holy Spirit will come, and he is the Spirit of truth, which is what I was saying. Jesus only speaks truth, and remember, Jesus is part of the Godhead, just as much as the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is part of the Godhead. And both of them come from the Father, part of the Godhead. But let me start again in verse 5. Jesus says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, i.e. the Father. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." In other words, this is at the ascension. This is Thursday week ago. Jesus has been with them for 3.5 years. Jesus has been with them for 40 days since his resurrection. And they're even sorrowful still because he's going away to him who sent him. He's going away to the Father. And they want so much to cling on to the physical body of Jesus. And this, in a sense, is the answer to what Pentecost is all about. This, in a sense, is the answer as to why Jesus told them to wait. And why it's so important for us to understand and know and receive Pentecost ourselves. To receive the Holy Spirit of promise ourselves. Because these disciples, these 11, still wanted, needed the physical Jesus. Because without him, they felt they were nothing. But when you read Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 and you read the day of Pentecost and then you read the Bible after that, everything changes. Because the disciples are now empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they are now witnesses of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus and of the Father. They are witnesses of the things of God because they have the confidence to speak. Because they're not speaking in their own power, but they're speaking in and through and with the power of God that is now within them. Because they've received the Holy Spirit has come upon them. As it says in Acts chapter 2, split like tongues of fire has poured upon them, as we heard read earlier. And you can hear and you can see this just amazement, this different picture of what is happening. But yet these same disciples 10 days ago, as it says there in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your..." Sorry, verse 6, "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." And the sorrow is in their heart because they haven't yet got the Holy Spirit with power. Now, they've had the Holy Spirit during their ministry because, as I said, they went out and they healed the sick, they cleansed the leper, they raised the dead, they cast out demons because it tells us in the Gospels. But that was for a time. That was for the time that Jesus sent them out. They needed refilling. And the reason why they needed refilling was because Jesus was still with them. And the time of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh had not yet come. Because that came on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit has not been taken back from the world. He is still here. In fact, we believe that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit wherein he dwells. And when you come to Christ, when you are saved, and you declare in him, as it says again, if you read in Acts chapter 2, it says that all who shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, verse 21. And we have the Holy Spirit. But we also need the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit in us with power. Then we shall no longer be like those disciples that sorrow has filled our heart. Because as much as it would be nice, we tell ourselves, to have Jesus, it is so much better to have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that himself. I must go so that the Holy Spirit shall come. So in verse 7 he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. There you go. Jesus is telling them. It's to their advantage that he goes away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Now remember back in the last two verses of chapter 15, the Helper is the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. So verse 7 again, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a and I'm blowing. He's not like a wind, but yet he's described as acting like the wind because we cannot see him. But he is the Spirit of Jesus. Because remember, this is the Trinity. This is the Godhead. And he's not like a wind, yet he acts like a wind, but he is a person. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And then this is the bit I want us to think on. What is it that the Holy Spirit comes to do? Verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now I believe that this is recorded like this and Jesus said it like this. Because in a sense, it is said what the Holy Spirit comes for and then he explains what he just said. And this is very much because people hear this, but they hear it the wrong way. Because the wrong way that people hear this is like this. Verse 8 says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And the way people are tempted to hear that, oh, the Holy Spirit comes and he'll convict you of sin. He'll point out to you that you've been a sinner and you've done this and you've done that. He'll show you and he'll convict you of righteousness, that you're not measuring up and you've got to do more and work more and study more and go to the church more and Bible studies and prayer meetings to prove yourself righteous. And he's going to come to convict you of judgment. He's going to judge you whenever you step out of line. Excuse me. And that so often is how people will read that. And that's all wrong. But how many times have some of those things that I've just said, have you heard preached? Have you heard people preaching about, you've got to watch that your sin and take care of every sin and confess it? Now, am I saying that you're not to confess your sins? It does say that, but we need to understand the context that it's said in. So let me take these one by one. He will convict the world of sin. And then in verse 9 it says, of sin because they do not believe in me. Now let me tell you again what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that he will convict the world of sins, plural. What it does say is that he will convict the world of sin, singular. And then in verse 9 he says, of sin because they do not believe in me. There's only one sin that the Holy Spirit convicts people of. Are you trusting in Jesus? Are you believing in Jesus? And the Holy Spirit will point people to Jesus. Because remember what it said at the end of chapter 15. It said, but the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The Holy Spirit will come and testify of Jesus. He points people to Jesus. You see, the life of the Christian is with Jesus. As our term is Christian, as in I am of Christ. We are of Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll convict the world of sin, the sin of not believing in Jesus. Verse 9 says, of sin because they do not believe in me. Jesus came and people came to him. The multitudes came to Jesus and they brought their sick to be healed. They came to listen to him. They were fed by him. They followed him. And we follow him. Follow Jesus. That's the same call right through the ages. Follow me. But whenever we get involved in life, whenever we make mistakes, whenever we take our eyes off of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is there and saying, come back to Jesus. Look at Jesus. Is this the way that you want to go? Or do you want to go the way? Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance those scriptures. The reason why I'm able to remember various scriptures is not simply because I've learned them, but because they're in me, because he's in me. And the Holy Spirit brings them to my remembrance. And I don't always, or I'm not always able to quote chapter and verse as to where they're from. But I know that they're in there and I can point in the general direction. And yes, at times, you know, like that one that I've quoted from John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because the Holy Spirit brings them to my remembrance. Because he's always pointing me back to Jesus. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's how he helps me. And that's how he helps us all. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But that's just the first part. So verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. So the second one is of righteousness. And verse 10 says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of righteousness, to remind us you are the righteousness of Christ. You are not righteous because Jesus was with you, but you're righteous because Jesus is in you right now. And because he has gone, I'm here to remind you, you are already righteous. You don't have to prove anything. We just have to believe and receive that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, is what the scriptures say. We are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. So the Holy Spirit comes to us and he convicts us of righteousness. He doesn't come and tell us you've got to be righteous. We can never be righteous in our own strength. We can never do enough of ourselves to be accepted before God. But when Jesus hung on the cross, there was an exchange that took place. He took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. And the Holy Spirit came to those disciples to remind them, and he comes to us today to remind us, you are righteous in Christ. And so he convicts us of righteousness. Now, equally as well, he convicts, because it says he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. So the world isn't righteous by itself, but the world is righteous whenever they come to Jesus. Whenever we come to Jesus, we receive his righteousness because he takes away all our sin. He died on the cross to save us from our sin. And in return, he gives us his righteousness. So verse 8 again. And when he has come, He will convict the world of sin. Verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. Verse 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So the fact that they see him no more, they still know they have his righteousness because they're in him. Verse 8 again, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 11, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 11 again, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and tell us, again, this is connected with the sin, is that when you sin, you're going to be judged for that. He doesn't do that. Because as I say, it's not the many sins, it's just the sin of not believing in Jesus. He points us back to Jesus. So this last bit just affirms that of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. In other words, the devil. He is the ruler of this world. He is the prince of the air. He's the one that has caused us all the trouble and continues to cause us trouble if we let him. But we don't need to fear him because he's already been judged. Jesus judged him whenever he died on the cross and he descended into the depths, descended into hell. But then it talks about how he took captivity captive. And he went there and he took the keys. And he's able to destroy everything. Jesus was victorious when he rose from the dead. The keys of death and hell he was able to take. He was ruler over all. He is victorious. He is our creator, our redeemer, our judge. But he's the judge, the Holy Spirit tells us. He has already judged the world. He has already judged the ruler of this world. He's already judged. The judgment that was to fall on us, the judgment for our sin and the things that we've done, has been forgiven at the cross. The judgment that was to come on us is judged upon the devil. Everything has been paid for. And the Holy Spirit, the Helper, is the one who leads us into all truth and shares and shows us all of these things. We have nothing to fear. We have been set free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And when we receive the Holy Spirit of Pentecost, we have the power of God within us. According to Ephesians 1:19, the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is inside the believer. We have that power. And why do we have that power? In the same way as Jesus sent the disciples out. He sent them out to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper, to cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew chapter 10. Those same things that those disciples did, we do. End of Mark chapter 16, it says, these signs shall follow those who believe. They'll take up anything deadly and it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. What were the all things? Back in Matthew 10, about healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, casting out demons. And it's all in there. And it all comes together. Because that's what the work of the Holy Spirit does. He reminds us that we're forgiven by Jesus. He reminds us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He reminds us that the devil's been judged. We're not going to be judged. Not judged as far as our sins are concerned. Now there is the second judgment. And the second judgment, where we're judged according to what we've done, whether what we've done has been led by God, or whether it's all burnt up in fire as wood and hay and straw. But that is another sermon. We are not judged. We already righteous. We already forgiven. And the Holy Spirit comes to tell us that. But he also comes to empower us. So I encourage you to read these things. I encourage you to delve into the Bible, to see about the things that I've been talking about, and to realize who you are in Christ. And to realize that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we're not just saved to go to heaven. We're saved for a purpose here on earth. We're saved to be witnesses, just as the disciples. Again, as it said in John chapter 15 at the end of it, verses 26, 27. Or verse 27, Jesus says, "And you will be witnesses of me because of these things, because you were with me from the beginning." Now, we haven't been with him from the beginning, but we're with him now. And because we have the Bible, we can read about these stories about how and what he did from the beginning. And we are his witnesses because we have the Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit helps us to testify about who Jesus is, because it's not just talking about someone in the Bible. It's talking about the God who lives within us. For our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit wherein he dwells. Almighty God lives in you. Almighty God lives in me. And I just thank him and praise his name. And I just want to share as much as possible with you about who he is. So come and trust in him, receive him, call on his name and be saved, and receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost, and indeed on every day and any day. For he is still here, and he's still moving, and he's still bearing witness of Jesus. For he is the Spirit of truth. And he refers to him who is truth, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.